Jesus was an innocent man. He never sinned ever in his life. And he never committed any crimes that were worthy of the punishment that he was given.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
On Palm Sunday, we looked at Jesus as the Messiah who was celebrated. He was celebrated by the crowds as he came into the city. Then they were all shouting, "Hosanna, save us now, Son of David." They had high hopes for him, that he was going to finally set them free from these hated Roman occupiers. But the crowd didn't realize is that he was indeed going to save them, but save them more profoundly than they could possibly understand. So he did save them. But because he disappointed the expectations of some, they turned on him. And perhaps some of those who were shouting, "Save us, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Messiah," would just days later be shouting, "Crucify him," because they saw that he was not going to deliver what they thought or wanted. But no, you see, the salvation that he would deliver was far greater than they could have imagined or thought. See, Jesus was an innocent man. He never sinned ever in his life. And he never committed any crimes that were worthy of the punishment that he was given. So we might ask then, so why then did he endure the agony of the cross? And not just the physical agony of the crucifixion, but also the spiritual agony of enduring and bearing the wrath of God against sin, taking the judgment or the pains of hell upon himself for you and me, for all who would believe. So why did he endure all of that? Well, I can answer that question with one word. And that word is, I think I heard someone say it, love. Love. So tonight I want to take us through the last night and day of Jesus' earthly ministry, as recorded by the Apostle Matthew. And in this passion story, we see that Jesus was condemned by a human court for crimes that he never committed. And then he was punished by a heavenly court for sins he never knew. Why? Love. Love, because he loves you. And through enduring the cross, he made it possible for you and me to be forgiven for our sin and receive the wondrous gift of eternal life. Listen now to what Matthew tells us about that last night of Jesus' earthly ministry. He says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And as they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. And the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know, the day is coming when Jesus is once again going to drink of that fruit of the vine, and it will be not only with his disciples, but with all of his people, with you and me. He will drink it new with us in the kingdom. Shortly after that, the disciples followed Jesus to a place they had no doubt been many times before, the Garden of Gethsemane, just outside of Jerusalem, a quiet place where there Jesus could pray. And Matthew tells us, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Aren't you glad to know that Jesus was not depending on his disciples or anyone else for what he was to do, but he was dependent on his Father and the Holy Spirit for all that would happen? I'm continue to be thankful that he's not depending on me, but that he graciously allows me and all of us to serve him. But he doesn't depend on us, because he's done it all for us. Matthew says, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him, and Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." And then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then all the disciples left him and fled. Everything that Jesus did went according to his sovereign plan and design. And every scripture, every prophecy was fulfilled. Nothing was left to chance. He was in control all of the way and to the end. Matthew goes on to tell us, then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" You see, as Jesus said that, he was indicating something that only God could say. And how could this mere man in front of them say something that only God could say? He was making a claim to being God. So they accused him of blasphemy. And so they answered, "He deserves death." And then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you?" Now, when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. And now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge. So that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, if you were Pilate and you could see that this man, he was on trial for his life, and that he was facing crucifixion, the most horrible way that you could die. And here are these charges against him. And Pilate knew that he was innocent, and yet Jesus does not protest. Would you have been amazed too? I would have. But Pilate didn't understand. So Pilate then, seeing that Jesus was innocent, decided that he would ask the crowd to choose one. There was a custom that he could release, that the governor could release a prisoner, one prisoner at that time of year. So he said to the crowd then, "Shall I release Barabbas, a notorious criminal, or this Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth?" And the crowd shouted for Barabbas. And so Pilate said, "Then what shall I do then to this Jesus?" And they said, "What? Crucify him." Matthew goes on to tell us, so when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." And then he released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Why? Because it was a mild anesthetic. And Jesus refused that. He chose instead to feel the full pain of everything that he was about to endure. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And so also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. You know, Luke tells us in his account that one of those robbers on the cross would later have a change of heart and a change of mind and would reach out to Jesus, appeal to him. Have you ever thought for a moment about the faith of that robber on the cross? I think that is one of the greatest instances or examples of faith in all of the scriptures. Think about that for a moment. You are being crucified along with another robber, and then this man in front of you is on your side. He's being crucified because he's said to be the King of the Jews. And they thought, well, the king is going to come in, this Messiah, and he will establish his messianic kingdom. And they thought that he would kick out the Romans and institute the glory of the kingdom, unlike they had seen since the days of David and Solomon. And now, this man who was first mocking him sees something in him. And he says, "Remember, you're on a cross, and this king is on a cross next to you, about to die." And this man says to him, "Lord, remember me in your kingdom." Is that an act of faith or what? And of course, what did Jesus say to him? "Surely I tell you what, today you will be with me in paradise." Incredible. But what happens next here, as Matthew tells us, is the culmination of Jesus' entire earthly ministry. Why he came into the world. That moment had arrived. Matthew says, "Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. You see, it was at that time when the punishment for the sins of the world were laid on him. In those hours of darkness, he experienced the wrath of God for you and me in order that we would not have to face that wrath for our sins. We're told then, "Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, 'Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him and tell the people he is risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first.' And Pilate said to them, 'You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can.' So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard." Now, aren't you glad that the story doesn't end there? You see, Jesus was condemned by a human court for crimes that he never committed. And then on the cross, he was punished by another court, this one a heavenly court, where he was judged for our sins in order that we wouldn't face the judgment of God. The innocent man who knew no sin, who committed no crime, twice condemned in order that you and I could be forgiven and given the gift of holiness and eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful once again for our Savior, the Son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who left his throne in heaven, willingly put aside all of the glory and the honor that were due him, and humbled himself, came into this world, and was made one of us, taking on flesh, being made human, human like us in every way, but without sin. This God-man then, growing up, living a life of perfect obedience to you, to your law, never once sinning or failing in any way, meeting perfectly all the righteous requirements of your law, and then willingly giving his life on the cross, the innocent one for the guilty, physically suffering, emotionally suffering, but then spiritually suffering, Lord, as he took the judgment and the punishment for our sins. He died, he was buried, but on the third day arose, a day that we will celebrate, a fact that we will celebrate once again this Sunday, that through faith in him is forgiveness, is hope, is eternal life, is blessing forevermore in your presence. So we thank you then for him and for his sacrifice, and we give you praise tonight, Lord Jesus. You are worthy of our love above anything or anyone else, more than anything else. So we give you thanks and pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.